Let me know when you're recording. All right, thank you. Okay, Dr. Webb, so we're going to take the pieces that we record here. We're going to place it into a narrative podcast where we've already interviewed Mr. Arrington. So that's why we just want to hear from you on basically... if you could you just give us your name and your title?
Yes, I'm Dr. Sharon Webb, and I'm the director of cerebrovascular, endovascular, and neurocritical care at Southeast Neurosurgery and Spine.
All right. Dr. Webb, Robert was talking, a couple things we want to clarify. Robert was talking about a tool that was used, and he wasn't sure the name of it. Obviously, I wasn't sure the name of it that helped him survive. Does that make sense? A certain tool that was used on him?
Yes.
If you could name that tool and tell us what it is, that'd be great. Thank you.
Okay. He had a clot, a blood clot in the artery in the back of his brain, called the basilar artery. And what I did was I used a stent retriever, and we have the solitaire stent retriever at Greenville Memorial. And it is a stent that is attached to a wire. So we actually call it a stent on a stick. And we take that up with microcatheters, and then you lay the stent over where the blood clot is, and that blood clot seeps into the stent, so the stent kind of grabs a hold of it. And then when you pull the wire out that the stent is attached to, it pulls the clot out with it, and it opens up that vessel.
So speed is of the essence in this. Is that correct? So Robert getting to you quickly certainly helped?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So you call this a BAO or a basal. Can you say that again for us, what Robert exactly had?
Yes, it's a basilar artery occlusion, so a clot in his basilar artery.
And it's called a BAO for short.
Yes, a BAO, correct.
Robert was telling us many people don't survive from this. He said it's got a very high mortality rate. Can you tell us what the main factor you think is in Robert surviving?
It was honestly the speed, because this artery supplies the brainstem, which makes us breathe, allows his heart to beat and us to breathe. So if you have a big stroke in your brain stem, then you obviously will end up dead, because you will not be able to control any of your bodily things that keep us alive, such as breathing, you know, and our heart. And that's why if the patients don't get treated, if they don't have the clot removed, then they all die. So there's about an 80% mortality rate with what he had if you cannot open that artery.
Okay. What Mr. Arrington had, because he said he was in his kitchen and his whole, I can't remember if he said his left side or right side completely just went, and he fell right to the floor. And luckily his wife knew right away to go, oh my gosh, you're having a stroke, and called the ambulance. Are there any tips or anything we should be aware of when it comes to recognizing a stroke in someone?
Yes. Easy to remember if you remember the word FAST, FAST. So if you have any facial droop, if you have any aphasia, meaning you cannot speak or talk, or you have any trouble with language, if you cannot move one side of your body, arm weakness or leg weakness, any of those symptoms, those are signs of stroke, and you should call EMS immediately.
Okay. And just think about Robert again. When he first came in and you saw him, how did you diagnose him? How did you figure out right away that he was having a stroke?
The EMS alerted us that a stroke patient was coming, most likely. And so as soon as they hit the door, we do a stroke alert, meaning that we as quickly assess them and then take them straight to CT, so a CAT scan, and we do a CT, a plain head CT, and then also a CT angiogram of his head, and that is a CAT scan where you give dye, and it lights up all of the vessels in the brain, and we can see if there's any clot or occlusion of any of the arteries, and that's how we saw that his basilar artery was occluded.
And then you went in with that tool.
Yes.
Okay. Can you talk about stroke care at Greenville a little bit?
Sure. So we're actually the second comprehensive stroke center in the state. The other one is Charleston. We just got our comprehensive status this past fall, and which means that we are able to treat all kinds of strokes, not only give TPA, but also endovascular care 24/7. And we also have a specialized neuro ICU and stroke units to make sure that the patients get the best care from when they hit the door to when they're able to leave, either and go home or hopefully, if not home, to rehabilitation.
Okay.
I'm not sure what else you'd like
wonderful.
Me to say.
Oh, no, that's wonderful. No, that's great. That's wonderful. So the type of stroke that Robert had, why is this? I know you kind of explained it before, but if you could articulate it again, why is that particular stroke such a killer?
Because of the area of the brain that it supplies, which is responsible, you know, for you being able to breathe and your heart being able to beat, and the basic functions of the body. And so if that part of the brain dies, you cannot recover from that. You cannot come off of a ventilator. That there's no recovery from that specific type of stroke. It's devastating. And so that's why there's such a high death rate with it if you're not able to open the vessel up.
Wow. So that speed is so important. So when they say speed is brain, that's so true.
Absolutely.
Or time is brain. Time is brain. That's the
time. Yes. Time is absolutely brain.
Time is brain. That's it. Wow. All right. All right, Dr. Webb. Well, thank you. Anything else about Robert Arrington that you want to talk about or say, or about his recovery and or his procedure, his recovery? Now, he sees you regularly still?
Yes. I had to place a stent in him as well because he had an area that was very small, a narrowing called a stenosis. And so I still see him regularly to check that stent and make sure it's open and looks good. So I still follow up with him regularly.
So I guess last question for you. Is there any way to prevent this or find this before it happens? Obviously, his main artery was clogging slowly over time. And as I interviewed him, I believe he said he smoked and he didn't eat well and he didn't exercise. So all of that time, that plaque builds up. Are there any checks that people can do or they should be doing to understand if their arteries are clogging at a earlier age so they don't get this all of a sudden massive stroke?
Well, I would say I would encourage people to certainly make sure they get a yearly checkup, see their physician, make sure their cholesterol is checked, they're watching their blood pressure. Regular exercise, of course, helps. Stopping smoking, which is, an extremely high risk factor for artery disease like this, is probably the most important thing, honestly. And if you have any symptoms at all, don't ignore them. Don't sit on them. Make sure you go to your doctor. Or if you don't, if they're emergent, then you take yourself to the ER and you don't wait, because if you are having a stroke, again, time is brain.
All right. Okay, Dr. Webb, thank you for your time. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for filling in some of the gaps on Robert's story. And I know that he's very grateful to you. So thank you for all the great work that you do.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it.